welcome back to the show. I'm really looking forward to this next conversation. But first, let's see if you recognize this clip.
Perhaps I could write the state senate and request funds directly from them. As far as they're concerned, only three ways to spend the taxpayers' hard-earned when it comes to prisons. More walls, more bars, more guards.
More walls, more bars, more guards. Spoken by the warden at Shawshank Redemption, a scene, of course, where Andy Dufresne, I don't remember. He was talking to the prison warden about getting funding for books. This is an issue that's pretty close to my heart, having spent a number of years as a crime reporter sitting in courtroom after courtroom. And you see all these people going through the courts who have reoffended, who have been in and out of the system. And you're just thinking, how can we stop this from happening? How do we break this cycle? Well, it turns out that even though I would argue that we as a society have acknowledged that sending people to prison is not just about keeping them away from the rest of us, it's about rehabilitation, so that when they're released, they don't cause further harm. Even though I think we have accepted this, according to, not just according to the story I read in the Toronto Star, but it's a fact that in Canada, it is really hard for inmates to get a post-secondary education. And this is in big part because, you know, thanks to the pandemic, if you are a distance learner, so if you are doing a university course from prison, you're going to have to do it online now. The pandemic kind of got shifted almost completely away from paper distance courses and completely to online. And guess what? Prisoners in our federal system are not allowed access to the internet. So I'm going to bring in our guest now, Dr. Michael Weinrath, who has been patiently waiting in the wings, a professor of criminal justice at the University of Winnipeg, to kind of walk us through this. Because, Dr. Weinrath, I can't wrap my head around it. Our federal government has its own research from the Correctional Service of Canada that shows that getting an education while behind bars reduces recidivism or reoffending by 20-30%, and that any involvement in post-secondary education reduces recidivism by 45-75%. So, I mean, first, where does your mind go when we talk about the fact that despite this and despite the fact that to get a university education from a distance in Canada, you need the internet to do so, prisoners can't access the internet in a federal institution. How do we understand this, Dr. Weinrath?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that again, the federal CSC. I mean, they know that education is important, and certainly all levels, right? Educational, vocational is important as well. And some studies show you get $1.54 to $34.50. In terms of a return for every dollar you spend on education.
I read that even higher. I think I read a federal government report saying $6.37 in savings for every dollar sent, thanks to keeping people from reoffending.
No, 34. Yeah, 34.50 is the high end.
Wow.
In terms of what you're spending. But at any rate, I think that as soon as something comes up that complicates things, and certainly the internet, it can be used for nefarious purposes. But again, in many ways, the internet, I mean, has simplified your ability to provide online courses. And certainly we went through something here at University of Winnipeg. We've seen at other universities where students have actually gone to prefer often to do things online because of the convenience and, you can work around your schedule and those sorts of things. So I think it's a bit of a smokescreen, though, right? Because, you know, when you have automation, when you have computers, you know, there's ways around these sorts of things in terms of, sending in assignments, doing the assignments and then sending them back, right? I mean, there's ways to do standalone programming. And again, there's a certain investment for that. But as you've mentioned, right, there's a significant return on that type of investment. The other thing, I found in doing interviews within the prison setting, and even back from my own days back in provincial corrections, you know, a lot of the inmates who go to university, they end up as leaders, positive leaders, and role models for other inmates, encouraging them to complete their GED. never mind going on to university or other post-secondary.
Okay, so if you're just joining us, I'm Tamara Cherry in for Evan Bray, and I'm speaking with University of Winnipeg criminal justice professor Dr. Michael Weinrath. There's a couple things that you just mentioned there that I want to pick up on. First, the idea that, you know, universities are accommodating students because they're hearing from students that they want to do things online. So should it be, if we are all in agreement that federal prison inmates should be able to access a post-secondary education, should it be incumbent on universities to offer these distance learners, you know, a paper option because they don't have access to the internet? Or should it be incumbent upon the Correctional Service of Canada to find a way for prisoners to access the internet so that they can get a post-secondary education?
Oh, that's an interesting question. I hadn't thought about that. Obviously, the universities would not be enthused about having to come up with a paper option. But
what would you say as a professor of criminal justice, Dr. Weinrath, if your dean came to you and said, all right, we need you to offer a paper option? Would that be a huge headache for you, or would it be somebody else's job to take care of that?
Well, I mean, I think you could do a combined thing, right? So where you could, create PDF modules. I mean, we have modules that we record right now, so I don't think it would be that difficult to roll it out into a package. And there'd be probably some funding from Correctional Service of Canada, I would think, for something of that nature. You know, we actually already go in, I don't know if you're familiar with the Walls to Bridges program.
Yes.
But here at the University of Winnipeg and other places, we have professors who go into the Stony Mountain Federal Penitentiary here in Manitoba, and we actually bring students in too. It's a great experience for them to learn something about prisons and to learn something about offenders, and you know that they're really in the end just people as well, and that you know prison is a painful place.
I love that initiative, but it is limited in scope, right? It is specific courses that are being offered in prisons, whereas if somebody wants to get a degree in who knows what, they don't necessarily get the choice because it's only being offered online, and that doesn't happen to be what is being offered through the program that you just mentioned.
Right. I mean, there's a variety of ways to look at it, too. There are actually online universities who could paper or videotape or download videotapes to provide education within the correctional facilities. Athabasca University, for example, which is based in Alberta. I mean, they used to run mostly paper, very limited computer interaction courses at one time. So in some ways, you know, for correspondence universities or those courses, it's back to the future. I mean, it's something that's been done before.
Mm. Okay, there's so much more I want to ask you about. If you could just hold on for a few minutes, Dr.
Sure.
Michael Weinrath, University of Winnipeg criminal justice professor. After the break, I want to get into some of what the research says about the benefits of post-secondary education for these prisoners. And also, you just used the word videotaping. And that's a bit of an archaic word, but I think that some listeners might be surprised as to how archaic some of the computer usage policies are in our prison. So we're going to have that coming up after the break here on The Evan Bray Show, 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. All right, well, we're not taking calls on this one today, but I do want to hear what you think on it. So maybe you can send me a text message, 1-877-332-8255. This whole idea of inmates in our federal penitentiaries, because they can't access the internet, they're basically unable to access a post-secondary education. That's, of course, thanks to the pandemic, and any distance learning has moved from paper options to really online-only options. So walking me through this issue today is University of Winnipeg criminal justice professor Dr. Michael Weinrath. And I mentioned before the break, Dr. Weinrath, you mentioned an archaic term, videotaping, and I know that you weren't necessarily implying that VHSs would be sent into prisons to educate people, but it reminded me of this Toronto Star story that I read in recent months it was talking about that until 2002, inmates were actually allowed to have computers in their cells as part of their personal properties. but that some inmates were caught using smuggled modems to access the internet and ended up committing crimes on the internet. And from there on out, you know, technology has been very tightly restricted, no personal computers allowed. And even now, the only way for an inmate to save a computer file is on a floppy disk. Like, this is just crazy to me. The Correctional Service of Canada is apparently exploring a pilot project that, you know, for inmates to try using USB devices. It just sounds like we are so far off from getting inmates access to a post-secondary education, Dr. Weinrath. So maybe can you just walk us through what does some of the research say about the benefits of post-secondary education for inmates?
Yeah, well, again, some of this sort of reflects some of the shifts socially, too, right? One of the things that we have always known, right, is that people with higher education end up making more money. Yeah, there's PhDs pushing brooms, but you know, they're in the minority. Most people with PhDs are making pretty good money. So university education, post-secondary vocational has become more important. And so we get huge returns on the benefits of people going out, getting those higher education degrees. So, and again, it's good in prison. It's a constructive way to do time. There's less misconduct for people enrolled in higher education and other educational programs.
You know, I've been called a bleeding heart on many issues over the years, Dr. Weinrath, but I think that even the least bleeding hearts among us would agree that they would rather people working on an education behind bars than, you know, sharpening their skills as gang members or drug traffickers, which is quite often the case when people come out of our criminal justice system. I wonder, you know, there was a line that I saw from two researchers from Queen's University 5 years ago. They wrote that the federal prison internet ban, quote, ensures that inmates will lack the basic skills required for nearly all forms of modern employment following release. And they continued that, quote, these policies are so dysfunctional that one wonders how the status quo has been allowed to exist for so long. So I put that question to you, Dr. Weinrath. How has it been allowed to exist for so long, that status quo? Why do you think we're here?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always the issues around use, but also misuse of the internet. And so when inmates misbehave, you know, you get a reaction from the correctional system. But, you know, sometimes it's more of a knee-jerk reaction, right? So, you know, for example, you have, you know, weights, right? This is a good way to inmates to physically spend time. And then somebody hits somebody with a weight, and then suddenly all the weights are gone, and the inmates, you know, don't have anything to do or very much to do. So it's the same thing with technology. There's all kinds of benefits from it. You know, when you do research studies of inmates who go in for a long period of time and they come out, you find that they're frozen in time. In terms of emotional maturity, they haven't aged very much, right? Because they're just exposed to this sort of prison environment and a lot of other immature personalities. And so I know from even my own friends in the different age groups I'm in, right, there's a big drop-off. You know, every 10 years, people become more and more adept, and each additional 10 years, people become less adaptable and less up on, you know, the latest developments in technology. So, and I feel it myself sometime, right? I'm more of a older, a little bit more of a Facebook than a TikTok person.
But, hey, at least you know what TikTok is.
Yeah, but you want inmates to stay connected to the outside in some way, shape, or form. And so access to computers is an important part of that.
It's easy to think, though, about how our prison system operates in a kind of isolated way from the rest of society. But I got to wonder whether this is a Canada problem and not a prison system problem, because, you know, the United Kingdom, Australia, several European countries, even parts of the United States, notoriously overcrowded prison system, all provide varying degrees of internet access to prisoners for educational purposes. Is there something about Canada that we're lagging behind in this?
Yeah, I mean, I think, again, you know, people sit and think about all these different things, and they make sort of these knee-jerk type decisions. And so sometimes, you know, I think in these cases you have to live with certain things, right?
Mm-hmm.
You could probably eliminate you know, contraband tomorrow if you cut off all in-person visits, did searches of all staff before they. I mean, there's all kinds of ways you can do these things, but you kind of say, well, look, you know, we can't do some of these things. We have to have, you know, access to visitors. You know, we're not going to spend hours searching everybody who comes in. So it's the same thing with technology, that there are some risks inherent in terms of providing internet access, or there's some investments in technologies to safeguard it. But again, you know, you have benefits that outweigh the costs of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of keeping inmates, you know, constructively involved. Right. There's a lot of intellectual things you
yes.
can do, you know, like education that's going to benefit inmates more than, you know, they have video games now and those things, and not necessarily a way to improve your mind.
Yeah. So, okay. So if you're just joining us, I'm Tamara Cherry, filling in for Evan Bray, speaking with University of Winnipeg criminal justice professor, Dr. Michael Weinrath. And Dr. Weinrath, we've just got a minute left, but if the head of the Correctional Service of Canada were to call you up at the University of Winnipeg and say, Dr. Weinrath, we want our inmates to do to fare better on the other side. Should we be allowing them internet access? What should we do right now? What would your advice be to them?
Yeah, well, I would say let's look at providing some limited internet access. Let's review our security procedures in terms of what we can do to prevent misuse of that. And but, you know, let's also look at you know, the benefits and try to tie in and quantify some of those benefits to make sure we're going in the right direction.
All right. Criminal justice professor Dr. Michael Weinrath from the University of Winnipeg, thank you for your time today.
Yep, thanks for having me.
I want to continue this conversation maybe tomorrow. Get your thoughts on it. Should we be allowing internet access to those serving those 2+ year sentences in our federal penitentiaries? I think that we should. So maybe we'll pick up on this conversation tomorrow. But first,
my answer at that point in time was, as I actually don't believe in chemtrails being dropping whatever chemicals. And the question wasn't specific to chemtrails. It was a bunch of products coming out of the planes.
In what universe are we living where our premier is having to come in front of the media and saying, I don't actually believe in chemtrails? What? We're going to have this conversation coming up after the break, along with many other. There's no shortage of topics when it comes to our provincial government, Frank, is there? So we're going to be speaking with the wonderful Murray Mandrick from Saskatoon Star Phoenix and Regina Leader Post, breaking down all things provincial politics coming up after the break right here on The Evan Bray Show. You are listening to fill-in host Tamara Cherry on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.